Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a standard proverb, seeing is believing. We usually trot that one out when someone has promised us something. I promise you I'll help you with the lawn work. I promise that I will do my homework. I promise I'll pay you back after payday. It goes along with talk is cheap. And I'm not here to knock on them because they have their domain. The problem is that domain is not the spiritual life. In the spiritual life, faith comes by hearing. Talk is not cheap, but it is the word proclaimed that takes pride of place. And moving from hearing to seeing, in the spiritual life, believing is seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. The things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen, eternal. If there's one thing that our current environment should make abundantly clear, is that we only see the things that we already believe. Our gospel text today balances around these two points. It ends with Father Abraham telling the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. The rich man complains back, no, Father Abraham, they will have to see to believe. Actually, he says to them, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But that's the point. Send something they can see and touch and feel. If they see something miraculous, they'll believe it. Father Abraham responds that faith comes by hearing, and believing is seeing. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, if they don't hear the word of God, they won't believe. And if they won't believe, they will never see, even if someone should rise from the dead. You wouldn't believe how fast it never happened. Which is, of course, what the past 2,000 years since that first Easter have been about. Jesus literally rose from the dead. The Father literally gave us exactly what we would ask for. Send someone back to the dead to tell us. The problem is that if we do not believe, we have no problem denying the resurrection, making up all kinds of excuses to ignore it. Our text starts with the reality of how spiritually deaf and blind we can be. And the more materially rich we are, probably the deafer and the blinder. The rich man, traditionally called Dives, which is just rich man in Greek, is dressed in purple and in fine linen. And the man never has to worry about what is on his table. Not even the occasional mac and cheese or comfort food for him. Dives feasted sumptuously every day. Steak and lobster. Surf and turf with the finest wine. The purple, of course, is a marker of rule or of political authority. And the fine linen is the man dressed in all of his cultural sophistication. And the feasting is everything good. Dives has it all. He is the good and the great. He does well by doing good. And every day, he walks right past Lazarus. Every day at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, and Dives never sees him. Jesus' dogs see Lazarus. The man is so poor and pathetic that the dogs take pity on him and lick his sores. Lazarus just wants what the dogs probably get, the scraps that fall from Jesus' sumptuous table. He most likely asked daily, "Have mercy," as the great man, dressed in his finery, left his gate to see and be seen. But the cries of Lazarus never fell on Divas' ears. The scraps of his sumptuous table never made their way to Lazarus. And Divas never even sees the poor man. The first time that Divas notices Lazarus is when he lifts up his eyes in Hades. He could never be bothered to lift up his eyes on earth and mitigate Lazarus' suffering, but now, suffering himself, he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Father Abraham. And he calls out, probably like Lazarus used to call out to him, "Have mercy. Let Lazarus notice me. Just dip his finger in cool water." Divas can't see the good works that God has placed in his way to do. He can't hear the word, "Have mercy." He never heard Moses or the prophets. Divas was spiritually blind and deaf. He was so surrounded by everything good this world has to offer, he could never even see the poor man at his gate. These points of hearing and seeing, or not hearing and seeing, surround the stakes. What we hear and what we see in this temporal world have eternal consequences. Child, remember, in this lifetime you got it all, and Lazarus nothing. Now, the first shall be last, and the last first. Now he is comforted while you are in anguish. The three steps that separated you and Lazarus on a daily basis has become a chasm that can't be crossed. You wouldn't cross those three steps in the temporal and in the eternal. They can't be. If you won't do it on your borrowed time, you wouldn't do it with the eternal. What you hear and see, how you act now, has eternal consequence. So what hope do we? The richest people that this world has collectively ever seen have. First, we have Moses and the prophets. Jesus says at the end of Luke's gospel that everything written about me in Moses and the prophets must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Because of Pentecost, because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and through the apostolic teaching, we are able to hear and understand the scriptures. And they all speak about Jesus and about what he has done for us. Jesus told us to seek and that we would find. And where we start to seek is Moses and the prophets. But even more than Moses and the prophets, someone risen from the dead has been sent to us. We have the apostolic witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And their testimony as to what it means for us. which is that this cross forgives all of our sins. And this cross bridges that chasm and gives us a place in the world to come. We also have what Paul writes in the epistle lesson today. That lesson's primarily about the qualifications for preachers and teachers. But what the Augsburg Confession says is that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. God has given this consistently through the ages. That place in the bosom of Father Abraham, Christ has secured for us. That place of comfort that we could never get on our own. Christ gives it to us by grace through his work. And that cross, what we pick up daily and carry in our lives, gives way to eternal glory. And Jesus has not left us or any of our brothers or sisters alone to stumble towards torment. He has sent out his witnesses. And he continues to send them out to proclaim the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. So today, we are called by faith by the word. Christ has saved you. He invites us to this meal where he gives us himself and sustains us through our days of pilgrimage. In faith, you see the body of Christ gathered around the body of Christ, created by his word. And in this faith, we are called to see the good works that God has placed right at our gates. Just as the body of Christ is there in that bread, those good works are laid out in advance for us to walk in. Do we see them? Believing is seeing. Of course, my preaching is foolishness if Christ is not raised. It's worse than foolishness. It's cruelty. If what we physically see is all there is, if that were the end truth that this life is it, then Dives would be right. Seek the purple. Enjoy the fine linen and meals, and don't give a second thought to the less fortunate. The entire Christian story depends upon the proclamation of eternity. A dead man has come back. Christ is risen. Christ is the Lord. And he has prepared a place for us. Our secular world, well represented by Dives, has a way of simply saying that it is the truth. That doesn't require any belief. But in spiritual things, believing is seeing. And the world believes that there's not a life in the world to come. This world believes that what is on this table is simply bread and wine. Really, what it believes is that what happens in the temporal world has no effect on anything eternal. Either because there is no eternal world, or because it thinks the day of grace continues on into eternity. Either way, what our world believes about eternity does not square up with what Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us both that there is a world to come and that the day of grace is today. Tomorrow, there's a giant fixed chasm. But you believe in this world makes fixed things in eternity. how you live always starts with a faith of some kind, a faith in somebody's words. What word do you believe about the world to come? And how has the word you believe changed what you see? Amen.